The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
February 7th, and this is a laugh day, 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a lively and provocative discussion about Bahamians. Bahamians living a different type of life, but a Bahamian life. Today, we are continuing a conversation with the Rastafarian community, and we having a discussion about family and the way of life and living. Right, I know we had previous conversations with them regarding the religion, how they embraced it, how it came about, and the history of it. But today we have a more humanity type conversation. We have some person on Zoom that we're waiting on, them to log on. And in studio today, we have Ja Mickey Bo, who is here, a Bahamian man, a Bahamian father, who is bringing up his children to be Rastafari, right? And I want to have that discussion because I want to know how can you grow up a child wearing dreadlocks and expect them to be in school? I want to have that tough discussion, right? I want to know how can a Bahamian mother make sure that their children are safe in a community that is kind of xenophobic towards Rasta, because they live in a different type of life. So I'm going to be having that type of discussion so I can understand exactly how that community live growing up their children. And so without further ado, let me introduce my in-studio guest, and then I'll try to communicate and attach myself to the two empresses who should be on Zoom. But without further ado, Ja Mickey, right? How long have you embraced Rastafari? And speak directly into the mic, dear.
Blessed love, honorable. Give thanks for this year day. This year day, what is actually our new year, February 7th. So we give thanks for that. I've been a Rastafarian for the past 30 years. So I've been in the community for 30 years. You know, it's great, as I see. You know, we follow our principles to the T. I come from a Christian family. You know, my mother and father is a Christian. They follow the Christian faith. My mother and father has four sons. The four of us are Bobo Shantis.
All four of you embrace Rastafari, embrace Bobo Shantis.
The four of us. And the thing about it is the four of us lived in four different places. And we came home and everybody had locks. We never spoke to each other about it. It's just the natural way of life. You know, when we grow up, being able to question things and not just take everything at face value. And I think that's what give us as brothers that seek for that knowledge. And when you seek the knowledge, if you seek God, you will find him.
I understand.
We find him.
And there's a famous biblical quote, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as for you and your house, you have embraced Bobo Shanti, and your children are Bobo Shanti."
Definitely.
That means they have dreadlocks.
They have locks.
That means they embrace this lifestyle that you trod.
Definitely.
And your children went to a Bahamian school.
All of my, yeah.
Right?
I have six kids, mm-hmm. and five of them grew up here in the Bahamas, one grew up in America. Mm-hmm. And the one that lives in America, she's also a Rastafarian also.
Even in America? See, I understand an American being liberal to say, yes, we'll embrace the freedom of religion. But the Bahamas is a conservative nation, right? And even though we embrace Christianity, we tend not to be tolerant of Rastas. You say, man, something is wrong, you know?
We see the injustice. You know, we feel what society put on us, but we can't allow that to control what you're going to do and the narrative of your life. You know, and true, that's one thing we fought hard to do, because this, us being Rastas here in the Bahamas, and, you know, Rasta being an African spiritual tradition, mm-hmm. you would expect it to be more accepted other than the Euro-colonial religion, what is Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But the African spiritualism is like, they already demonize it.
Yes.
So long as it's demonized, anything coming out of Africa is, basically anything black is demon, is bad. You know, we have the black sheep of the family, you know, everything is black. Even they tell you if your sin are white, as snow is a good sin.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to a black sin? I mean, that's a horrible sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we embrace it, and it's good. You know, we fight in the community for our rights. We know it is our rights, and we had never stopped. We have always been agitating for our rights to be liberated. You know, we live in a country where if you pick up my daughter's fourth grade social study book, has religion in it,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they have Rastafarian as a religion in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
but yet our government would not recognize us as a religion.
The social but studies then, book has Rastafari listed as religion,
yep.
but you're not recognized by the government,
as
an official religion.
Right, because if they were to do that, they'd have to give us all of our religious rights. So I feel that's one of the reasons why they would say it, that we are a religion, but they would not write it on document, put it on paper. So that's one of our agitation, is to make sure that the government respect and protect our rights. Not just respect it, but you must protect our rights also as a faith.
Okay, I know I have some people on Zoom, and let me see if I get connected them and make sure that, yeah, put it in so you can hear. Let me make sure I can connect them. Empresses, are you there? Can any of you hear me?
Greetings, yes, hello.
Blessings. Just introduce yourself so my listening audience can know who they're listening to, and then I'll proceed with the questions.
Yes, this is Empress Philippa from the Mary Bingley House.
Okay, and there's only one on Zoom right now, right, Empress Philippa?
As far as I can see.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure I acknowledge everybody. There's two, the second one, too? Okay, I'll speak to Empress Philippa first, and then I'll reintroduce the second person who's on Zoom. And Empress Philippa, how long have you been embraced Rastafari? And I know you have children. I want to know that experience of being Rasta and trying to grow up your children in a Bahamian society.
All right. Yes, I have been trying to trot about 15 years now. I have gone to a lot of Rasta youth, and I have my own. My last youth was the only one that went through the struggle in school, as far as sending her to school with a hair wrap. The school was not familiar with Rastafari culture and our way of life. So it was different for the principal, because she wanted to know why the youth came with a wrap on her hair. And we had to explain to the principal that this is our way of life and that she would be coming to school every day with her hair covered. And another problem that we encountered when she went to school was that the school didn't sell any ital food,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
They only sold like meat, you know, like what the regular students would have eaten. And we had to make a request and a idea to the school to let them know, you know, please introduce some ital food, you know, fish or, you know, veggies or some different type of food. And, you know, that was a little struggle because they didn't remember that all the time. And another struggle was, you know, as Rastas, when we pray with our eyes open and, and behold the Trinity. And we point to the east. So when it was time to pray in school, you know, it was a little different for her. You know, all the other students, you know, wondered what was going on, you know, and also the teacher, you know. So she had to explain to them that this is what we do. You know, we don't pray with our eyes closed, you know. And,
I want to interrupt you right there. I know there is an issue with to schools in terms of not appreciating what the Rasta community of, at least, and not understanding exactly the roles and the precepts of Rastafari, right? I want to know, have you gone to the school and say, this is who I am, this is my family, and allow me with my the priesthood to come here and educate the school board, educate the parent teachers association on this is how we practice, and can you embrace some of these things?
Yes, we did that at the school in Elutra where my daughter attended. It was Central Elutra High. And what we did, we went to the school as a family, and my king man, he's a priest already, so he was able to speak to them and, you know, let them know exactly what we deal with in our culture and our way of life, and a little bit more about, you know, our daughter and what would be going on.
Yeah. And how was that embraced?
It was embraced with a welcome. It wasn't like pushed away. She understood and she felt it, you know. And the senior mistress, she embraced it, you know. She loved it. She thought it was something different that they was interested in. They really wanted to learn about it because they never heard about it. They never knew about it, you know. So it was something interesting for them. And being the first Rasta at that school, she was the only one there and the first one that ever went there while the principal that reigned was there, you know. So she, you know, and after a while, they became the best of friends, you know. But it was just the embracing part, you know. She didn't. The principal, she loved it, you know.
And that's good. I know we have another priest online. Just to meet, get engaged him.
Okay.
Can you say you can hear me?
Yes, my lord, I can hear you clearly right now.
Good. And I want to know your experience, right? I'm trying to get everybody into this conversation, right? And everybody's having a different type of experience trying to grow their kids up, right? Their children up.
Yes.
And having that quality of life with culture. And I want to know what it is that you are doing to make sure that the system is helping you, embracing you. And I want to know, again, the frustrations that you've had, frustrations that you're going through still, that at least the persons who are listening say, okay, let me make some adjustments for you.
Okay. Well, blessed love to my Rastafari family and to my Bahamas family at large. Give thanks for life, health, and strength among all things true. The Black Christ in flesh, King Emmanuel the Seventh, Adonai, God, Jah, Rastafari. We give thanks for such a gracious radio host that would give Rastafari a platform to express our truth, which is the truth of the black man. For Rastafari is the only man who, after being brought through slavery and brutalized for 530 odd years, never left his culture, never left his way of life. For Rastafari is a way of life. Even though the Europeans would classify us as a religion, we are not a religion because the word religion is from Europe. And we were practicing the true and righteous way of life from creation. As a Rastafari, I give thanks for the strength of our elders who led the way before us. My name is Honorable Priest Tafari Thompson. I have been a member of the Rastafari community for over 30 years and a Bobo Shanti for over 25 years. And learning of the truth of Rastafari has been the revelation of my life. My father named me Tafari when I was born. I never had a clue or idea to what it meant until I was 17 or 18 years old. At the time, I was attending UB, which was called College of the Bahamas at that time. And a Rastafari brethren stopped me in the street one day and he handed me a pamphlet. And it had, this was 1992, it had the centenary, the 100-year anniversary of the throne of David, of Emperor Selassie, who was the 225th descendant of the throne of David. So I was like, what? There's a black man sitting on the throne of David, so I must investigate. So doing my due diligence, me and my brethren investigated and decided that for us to have a king of the throne of David, who is a black man, that we must represent this king. And Rastafari are we, the people who represent the throne of David. Now, as to the liberty, my grandfather's name is Salathiel Harvey Thompson. He was the first black commissioner of the Bahamas. And he told me personally from the 80s how his police force, he instructed them to brutalize the Rastafari community because Rastafari was looked at as a lower class of society. Rastafari was looked at as criminals. Rastafari were looked at as people who were lost from society. They were not respected for upholding their traditions that was brutally beaten and taken away from them. You understand me? Now, as time moved on throughout the late 80s and 90s, everyone started to realize that, hey, basically there was a Rastafari in every family within the country. Even within the house of the politicians and the prime ministers and the priests, everyone had a son or a daughter or a cousin who was a Rastafari. So coming into the 90s, within the year 1997, we led a delegation to the school of H.O. Nash because there was a young student from the Rastafari community who was being harassed because of his locks and his turban. So I cannot remember who was the principal at the time at H.O. Nash, but we went there in a delegation and we sat down and we talked to the principal and the school, and they agreed that as long as a student would be able to have a letter from the Rastafari church, they would be allowed to continue to practice their studies within wearing their locks. And we let them know that, first of all, their question was marijuana. First of all, marijuana is a sacrament. You know, it's not something that we use and abuse. Just like how the Anglican Church would give their wine and their bread as a sacrament. Well, we see marijuana as our sacrament. And during school hours and school days, there would be nothing to do with marijuana. We made this clear. So as a result of us in 1997 going to H.O. Nash, basically most of the schools, the public schools in Nassau at the time, they adopted the same principle. Now, me personally, I have four kids, two boys and two girls. My oldest son, he has cerebral palsy. So therefore, he would pull his locks out of his hair, so we decided that we would not allow him to grow his locks. My second son, Tafari Jr., I attempted to get him into Bahamas Academy with his locks when he was a young boy, and they told me that they would not allow it. I must write a letter to the principal and to the board. So I wrote the letter, clearly stating to them that the Savior, who we all give thanks for, who we look at as Christ in flesh, his hair is long. His head was not shaved. His head was not bald. You understand me? So if our Savior here is long to his shoulder, why should it be a problem that a young man who's holding the principle and living a Christly way should be forced to trim his hair? And after we know that cutting of hair is something that derives from slavery, because the African man never cut his hair in Africa. We never cut our hair in the days of old. As we are renowned as the days of Samson, that our locks was our strength, because it's a part of the body. The locks are like the wires of a computer. It's electromagnetic. As we all know that when we come close to the TV, our hair would stand up. The locks is a powerful part of the body. Your hair is a powerful part of your body. So within the tradition of Rastafari, we do not defile our hair. Even in Numbers chapter 6, it tells you if you find God in your heart, then you would let the locks of your hair grow. Now, if God was to ever leave your heart, then you would have a choice to cut it if you would want to. But me personally, and the Rastafari movement say, if we find God in our heart, we would never let him out.
But priest, what did the Bahamas Academy say regarding the child?
Okay, yes, continuing with Bahamas Academy now. After I wrote the letter, they still refused to allow my son in the school with his locks. And at the time, his mother grew frustrated and she trimmed my son's locks, which caused me a great heartache. So we attended Bahamas Academy up until about his 10th or 11th, up until about 9th grade. He transferred to SAC, where also they would not allow him to grow his locks. But now that he's graduated, he has decided within himself to grow his locks. We as the Rastafari, we do not force no locks upon no one. And we don't even force our children. We try to grow them in the right way and teach them the right way that they would be able to make decisions for themselves. Just like how our mothers and fathers grew us up within the Christian organization. And when the time came, we found our road, you know, which is deeper than Christianity, because Christianity originated in the oldest Christian kingdom in the world is Ethiopia, where the throne of David is to this day. So we as black people always had the truth about Christ. We did not need to get it from Rome or from England or from any British power, because they used the name of Christ to come and conquer the Western Hemisphere.
Okay.
They used the name of Christ. Pardon me?
Okay, a priest, and I want you to continue this story, but I know that Prophet John Mickey is here too, and he had a testimony that he wants to express. Because I hear that Rasta children are taking tests to go to private schools, private institutions, which is mostly religious institutions. And I have texters who are saying that it's private. Why do you want to force your religion onto the other religions, right? But I went to a Catholic school, and they didn't. And I was Baptist, and they allowed me to attend. So I want to know from John Mickey his opinion on that, being a Rastafari and having Rastafari kids take tests to these religious oriented schools.
First of all, I'd like to say, don't our kids deserve a good education? Now, if your child could have a good education, why don't my Rasta child, a Bahamian, can't have that same good education at a private school? Couldn't you afford it? My kids went to an Anglican school. I don't want to call the school name.
Okay.
And when I went there, we found this as the problem. Sons get fight down for their locks. My daughters, they went to St. Anne's. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went to St. Anne's, I was actually on the school PTA board.
Mm-hmm.
I am an active parent. I don't just send my children to school, mm-hmm. like plenty of these Christian parents does.
Mm-hmm.
We as Rastafarians, we take that time with our kids. We really enter our kids' life. And when you say that your child is a Christian school, that was an Anglican school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my child is a Rastafarian. My children are Rastafarians. You know, I know that my older daughter, she had, like Priestafari say, we right from wrong. And the way that they look at it, and we got to look at young ladies, them too, and their self-esteem, and the things that teachers, principals, adults do to kids with an African-style hairstyle. They'd rather see you cut your hair, perm it, do these unnatural things to your hand, they're fine with it. But to see a child naturally come into school, it's a problem. They say, you're unkept.
Mm-hmm.
What is unkept? My locks long, and I'll bet my hair is cleaner than most people there because I wash my hair. My hair is very clean. It's a part of me. It's mm-hmm. my crown.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any king who have a crown and doesn't polish their crown. You know, we take that. When we put our kids into school, we actually... Yes, most Rastafarians, we want our kids to have great education. And they found that most of our kids are very smart. I know Empress Philippa, her youth went to St. Anne's too. But we have daughters who went to these schools. And we find that they're not scared. And that's what it is. It's a scare. It's a scare tactic. Let's be real. They're not scared of a girl with locks. But a young man with locks, it's like, we must end that now.
And I have one or two callers now who want to engage the community. So let me patch the caller through, and so you can have a chance to respond to them. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasant good morning, Mr. Dury.
Go ahead, sir.
Now, there's always talk about me calling all the time over this, that. But if you realize you have a lot of different topics, I mean, you have a lot of different topics, a lot of people have different points of view and so forth. My point of view, it goes back to brainwashing. When the English send the white man to Australia, back in the old days, they were trying to get rid of a lot of prisoners out of England when they overcrowded the prisons. So they put them on ships and they send them to Australia to get them away from England, it was told. When they reached England and when they reached Australia, who did they meet? The Aborigines, right?
A black man,
right? Big dudes, they say they're ugly. What kind of hairdo did they have?
Rasta
locks.
Yep, woolly locks.
They ain't had no barber down there with no machine to cut their hair. So their hair grew naturally. When the white man went into Africa, the black man ain't had no barber down there with no barber razor, no machine to cut their hair. So their hair had to be grown naturally. When the slaves came over here, they brought the slaves and they started cutting the slaves. But if you look at most of the pictures of all the kings of England, all the emperors of Japan, all the emperors of China, They had a big, long ponytail down the back of their head. Remember them pictures? Mm-hmm. The warriors and so forth, Genghis Khan and all of them. They had long black plaits and everything down to their hips. That was a prized possession. Inside the Bible, the strength of the sound, the strongest man, they said, in the Bible was Samson. God instructed him not to cut his hair, not to drink any wine, because that was his strength. And he lost his strength and his eyesight the minute he drank wines with Delilah. You remember that story? Mm-hmm. All of this comes from brainwashing, and I told you before, with the white man. Back in the years gone back, I think it was Freddie Munnings Jr. that had a problem, and his children were going to Kingsway Academy, a private school. But remember, in our Constitution, we have the right to religion.
And definitely we have a right to religion. But Empress Philippa, are you there? Let me ask you a question. I have a question from a text. Empress, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I have a text here from a concerned mother. She's asking, if your child in later age decide not to be Rastafarian anymore, what does that mean to you? How will you embrace that?
That's it. All right. Yes, it's a freedom of choice, you know. We teach them, you know, everything comes from within, you know. So it would be a freedom of choice if you just doesn't wish to, you know, continue the order, you know. But
and a reason why I also ask that, because I know there are a number of Christian parents who, if their child becomes Rasta, that's that. They get cut off. I'm trying to see them as if you...
Kick
out the house. Your religion seems to be more embracing.
See, the foundation is already in them, you know? So, you know, what in will still come out, you know? So the liberty and those things will still be within them, even though they might not wish to try to try. But then, you know, from your Rasta, you don't really say... You go from Rasta not being Rasta anymore, you know, really, truly within. It's still in there. You know, you just go through a trance, you know, you go through phases, you know. So, you know, sometimes you mislead, but that still is within them.
Okay. I see I have two more callers now who want to engage. Pastor Collins through there for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
God, leading is a stark in the waste. We need justice, law, and order in the Bahamas. What I want to say, right? So the brother would speak of Sir Rachel Thompson. I want you to know that a couple of his brother, Sir Rachel Jr., is there in my family, okay? Elseda McFall was my sister. But what I also want to say, right, that me and Fly Major... Of course, I was before Fly Major with dreadlocks, okay? And eating the idols and stuff like that. When his granddaddy was on the police force as commissioner, I was downtown at the bank, okay, with my dreadlocks. And people was looking at me furious. I went to United States at one time, and people wondered who I were or what I were. But I say all of that to say this. Sir Rachel Thompson, as a commissioner of police, he had me locked up off of Bay Street and put in Fox Hill. Okay? So my mother, I mean, for wearing dreadlocks.
Go ahead. Okay, thank you very much. I have one more caller. Just pass that caller through so I can go back with the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Good day. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Listen, I won't say this, and I can say it, I ain't gonna be too long, but I could go back all my life, and I could remember Rastas was telling us what to eat and how to eat right, because they could destroy us through the food. Now, 50 years later, we suffering from hypertension. Rasta was telling them, teach us our identity, teach us our history, so we could know who we are, and we could build an identity outside of the boundaries of wealth and money, because the people who control the money is control direction. Rasta tell us that. Rasta tell us change the educational system because the people need to know more about themselves in order to be able to build this great country. Rasta tell them go back to the earth. And all of these things now we seeing come to the fruition. The politicians lie, but Rasta never lie. The preachers lie, but Rasta ain't never lie. The people, the lawyers, the doctors, all of them lie, and Rasta never lie, and Rasta's never wanted what all of these people wanted and continue to exploit the people and use these TikToks and different schematics to be able to exploit the labor of people. But I could say this, and this could be the last thing I say. We know for sure the English way is failing. They can't even elect a government. We know for sure the American way is failing because they don't know if man is woman. We know for sure the systems that these people created is failing. The truth is the African way. The African way must lead. Ubuntu, collectivism. Ubuntu. Without we, there is no I.
Rastafari.
Or to priest Tafari. You mentioned the sacrament, right? And I want to know more about the sacrament because there are a number of behemoths who say, man, y'all is smoke weed and y'all abusing your children by allowing them to smoke marijuana. And I was speaking to Prophet John Mickey and earlier, and he was saying, man, this is a sacrament. We approach it differently. But since you are a priest, I want to know, at what age does this sacrament thing start? And I want to know the narrative around it so behemoths can appreciate the sacrament.
Okay, first of all, from the first chapter of Genesis, our Father, our Creator, the Most High, Jah Rastafari, the word Jah Rastafari means the head creator in English. See, that is what most people don't know. Jah Rastafari means head creator, and Haile Selassie means, in English, the might and the power of the Holy Trinity. These are Ethiopian words that we use to describe our love for our Father, our Creator God. He says, from the first chapter of Revelation, the second chapter, everything that grows from the ground is meat. Everything that grows from the ground is for the service of man, right? And so now we realize that even the fruits are meat, even the vegetables are meat, but the animal is flesh. So furthermore, he says that all herb is for the use of man, which includes the ancient herb. The ancient herb of what we call cannabis, or some refer to as marijuana or ganja, was an ancient healing that was used from biblical time, the oil that was used to anoint the kings of Israel. The king of our ancestors has cannabis within it. You understand? Now, within the Catholic Church, I think it's the age 11 where they have confirmation. If I stand to be corrected. I think it's the age of 11 where they would offer communion to the young children, where they would say they would offer the bread and the wine. Within the Rastafari community, it is when the one reaches the age of maturity, when one could make stern and firm decisions as a young man or a young woman, or a young woman, as to where they would be allowed to be able to take part in the sacramental ceremonies. You understand? It's not from no one-year-old and two-year-old like most fools would think. No, that's not true. You cannot give harsh, harsh food to a baby. You understand? You have to break down the vegetables and the fruits to give to a baby. So it's the same way. Same with the sacrament. When a child over the age of 13, 14, going into their teenage years, may show that they are mature enough to take a part in the ceremonial order of the sacrament, then they are allowed to. Do not forget, even in biblical days, the peace pipe was used to bring priests, to bring peace amongst the tribes. And what was in the peace pipe? The peace pipe contained marijuana. In the oldest, I have done my studies, in the oldest of days, within the churches of Rome, within the churches of Europe, marijuana was used as a sacrament. Like if you go in the Catholic Church today, you see them have the urn where they have the smoke in it. They would have, I think they would have, say, I can't even remember what herb they use today, but that used to be marijuana, and it is a known fact. You understand? Rastafari community have been preaching the use of the herbs. Revelation chapter 22 says, the leaf of the tree shall be used to heal the nation, not no synthetic chemical that does not derive from your body. See, the Rastafari know. We don't believe in nothing because in the middle of the word belief is the word lie.
Belief means you are not sure of nothing. So if you believe something, you ain't sure. You waving. But the Rastafari know what we know.
My Lord.
Because this is from ancient days. This is before our time. You understand? So, therefore, when it comes to the sacrament of the Rastafari, we look at that as a part of the daily life of a spiritual man, woman, or young lady, or young man. You understand? Because we have been deceived. Remember now, we have been told that the system, which is called Babylon, which we call Babylon because we know that it's fulfilling the scripture. It's deceiving the majority of the people. The majority of the people are deceived into fast food, which is poison food. The majority of the people are fooled, which is into entertainment. Entertainment poisons your body, just like poison food, just like drugs, just like any sickness and disease. Whatever you call your entertainment, whether it's a horror movie, whether it's some murder and killing music, these things enter your body just like the poison food. Okay. And they possess you. So that's why Rastafari purge ourselves of the poison food, of the poison entertainment, of the poison activities of society. Because remember now, the nation of Israel always lived as a secluded society amongst all societies. We always live in an encampment, which you could call a camp or a reservation.
I can talk more about that, priest. I want to talk more about that. But I have two more persons want to engage you. But I want to talk about the camp. Go ahead, producer. Pastor Kola Kuturu. Go ahead, Kola. Can you hear me?
I didn't finish, Anui. Okay. What I want to say, right?
Make it quick there, Bremen.
The word Rasta means brother. Okay? A lot of people doesn't realize that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Pass your next caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui.
Go ahead there.
Good morning, Jaman. Bless up.
Bless up.
My Lord. This brother is putting out the real information, and so we know we're being duped with the history. But I just wanted to put out that, you know, the salt causes the high blood pressure too. But the thing is, you know, from the 70s, right, the police officers knocked down my brother on a motorcycle just because he was wearing dreadlocks. Now I'm wearing it. They would automatically think that you're a criminal and try to dehumanize you. They pull up on my hair, slap me, punch me for nothing just because I'm wearing a locks. This is the type of hatred. Mm-hmm. Now, the same thing with the marijuana. They're hating in ignorance, and this is really, really disturbing. So, Rasta, please let them know that they are barbarous. They are barbarians, please, because this conversation is much needed. They will never treat people equally because the skin are black. If I was a white Rasta, I believe it would have been different. You're wearing your hair because you're separating yourself. But I'm saying that automatically when they see you like that, they have a disdain for you. So something has to be wrong within the black psyche. And so we know the history of Ethiopia. The one thing they don't teach in school, I don't know if Rasta, if you know about the Ethiopian Empire.
That's
all the way as far as India. But they hid this away from us. They don't want you to know that we had empires. We have great civilizations beyond Egypt, but they limit our thoughts and our thinking. Bless up, my brother. Please give thanks.
Yes, producer, pass the next caller through. Let's get him through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? No? Let's go to the next one. Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm Adventist, right? My respect is due y'all. I'm Adventist. And the Rastafari religion, I always admire it because it always go hand in hand with our religion. I feel like they shouldn't have been discriminative against the Rastas back then. And I feel like they shouldn't be discriminative for them now. I remember the other day, the priest, I think his name, Philip Biden or something like that.
Joe Biden, yes, Philip Biden.
Yes, they was trying to do something the other day where they was trying to let their voice be heard about, I think, about legalizing cannabis for their usage, because, you know, police will be harassing them and thing, and that's something they smoke as a ceremonial, something like that, they call it. Ceremonial purposes and stuff like that. I feel like it's too much. I feel like they discriminate them too much, and they have some of the purest religion, you know.
Yeah. My brother,
I appreciate that.
Madam, let me tell you something with this government. And for the people in the Bahamas, they fight a stand for cannabis, but yet the government about to legalize it. for medical use because they want to make money off of it. But see, when the black man decide to do something, they fight us down for it. But the minute they see monetary value in it, they take it, they keep it for their self. Because what's going to happen? They're going to legalize medical cannabis and we still won't get our sacrament. Mm. But they will be getting the money off of this. And this is something we've been fighting. They talk about coming to the table. AG has never come to the Rastafarian community yet. But they are about to set legislation. And we have wrote so much documents, so much paper. I personally, John Mickey Bow, has wrote so much papers on the sacrament and on the legalization of marijuana. But yet, ask me, have I ever sit down with any of the stakeholders? I always think to myself, who is these stakeholders that they are speaking to? Because we have been brutalized for it. Our kids right now, and this is the thing, we do not give it like Priestoff I tell us. If my child is 15 and he's not ready for the sacrament, he won't get the sacrament. If tell he 18, whenever he's ready, even though in the Catholic Church, and I grew up a Catholic, when we do that, when you reach a certain age, it's automatic you go in to confirmation classes. We don't do that to our kids. They have a free choice. I have children right now who've got their locks. And Brother Nuri asked about it. And it's a freedom. You know why? I've talked to many Rastas who's in their 60s who tell me they've cut their locks. And 10, 15 years later, they come forward to the faith. Because like Empress Philippa said, that principle is in you. And that principle can't come out of you. Don't care how much you fight, so we don't mind it. You know, we give our children that freedom of choice, you know. And I always say, we only want the sacrament, and we use our sacrament. I want to be able to worship at home and worship in the tabernacle. I want to, wherever I feel to worship, I need to be able to worship. And if I need my sacrament, I can need my sacrament. Because give it in the next 6 months, the government will be making taxes and money and everything off of the same thing they've demonized, locked us up, brutalized. See, y'all, we need to have a show just about the brutalization Rastafari have faced. Just, you can imagine trying to go to Sabbath service and the police know where you got a pass and they know you have your sacrament on you because you're going to Sabbath and they just wait to lock you up. You go into Sabbath service? These are the things we have to hold our kids from. You know how many times I tell my kids they can't go to Sabbath because I don't want my children being locked. I don't want my children to see me being brutalized by the police, because then that's a whole different conversation I have to have with my kids after that. But they don't see that. They just do it to us. They do it to us in the front of our kids. Have you ever been for a joint, the police make you drop your pants in the middle of the road? It's happened to me. It has happened to me. Take off my band, shake out my hair, drop my pants. You know what that is? That's to degrade me as a human being just because of my culture. Because I don't have a religion. I have a culture, a way of life. See, and that's what people don't understand with a culture. Culture, I walk my culture, I talk my culture, I live, sleep, eat, drink. Everything is me. You see?
My honor, Rabbi.
My Lord.
Okay, I have one more call to engage you. Producer Pastor, caller through. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, go in once, caller, go in twice. That call is gone. I'm going to ask Empress Philippa another question. The community also lives in a camp environment, some, right? And there are persons who are concerned that you are growing up your young child, your daughter child, around a camp environment. And I want to hear your commentary on that, this Rasta camp living.
Right, we have sections at the camps. It's not just a all-in-one area. You have like trails that lead to different quarters, different areas. So it's not where everyone has to be at the same place at the same time. So there's an area for the youths. You know, you have people that live in their own houses. You know, so it's individual quarters that once live in. So they have their privacy, you know, and if the youths are to be there, Most of them would be inside, or, you know, unless it's an event or a celebration, you know, then there would be a time for them. And we also have youth days, you know, where the youths have events where they come and perform and do chanting and different singing, you know what I mean? And, you know, we have things for them to do to keep them occupied.
I appreciate that. I did not know. I have one more caller here, then I'll speak to some closing thoughts. Go ahead, caller. I have one more. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, I can hear you, but okay, that's gone. Okay. Go back to Priest Star Farai, right?
Yes, my lord. Yes, my lord.
I want to go moving forward. What do you want this government to do in regard to Rasta? I know in the short, Prophet Jamiki mentioned that he wants to take his sacrament in peace. He wants not to be brutalized. But, you know, the world is changing. But I want to know, what is it that you want the government to do regarding Rastafari?
Okay. First of all, I would like to say, from 1994, the Ethiopia Africa Black International Congress, the Honorable Rastafari Ambassador, His Excellency, Priest Ritman McKinney, he led a delegation to Parliament in 1994 to stand up for our legalization rights, stand up for our sacramental rights in Parliament. This was in the Tribune. This was in all the newspapers from 1994. We were teaching them that they were wrong for locking up our sons, causing them cannot go to college because their police record was scarred. You understand? From the 90s, from the 80s, we were agitating for our rights in sacramental use. What we want right now, we want a reparations for the Rasta community. Because see, the Constitution of the Bahamas states that we have the right to use our sacrament, the constitution from the first constitution up to now. So our constitutional rights have been abused. Our constitutional rights gives us the right to use our sacrament just like any other community and any other church. Our camp is a village, remember now. The family is a village, and our camp list is a village. When I was a little boy in this country, we is one family, all of we is one. That is how Rastafari lives to this day. We never lost that love. We never lost that. It takes a village to grow a child. We have never lost that love. Now that the society at large has seen that Rastafari is not the criminal, Rastafari is not no one order, Rastafari is not no mad ASS, Rastafari is none of these gangsters and these murderers and killers. When you see the murderers getting carried to Fox, you barely would see someone with a little locks on their head. You would never see no one with no turban unless it's a one-off thing with something. Things do happen. Everyone is not perfect. You understand? Both positivity, love, regeneration of the truth. You understand now today that we see our government seeking to legalize the same thing that everyone has been persecuted for it, you know, whether you are Rasta or not, but the society, the element of society that's been persecuted the most for marijuana has been the Rasta community. We have been ostracized, we have been refused jobs, we have been refused participation in athletic competitions because we use marijuana. You understand? Me personally, I was a star athlete growing up in Grand Bahama. I was the best in the 100 and 200. Because I used to use herbs, they would not let me compete anymore in the competitions, right? Now today, we say we want our reparations for what we've been through in this country. Because what the society and the government do not understand, Rastafari, cannabis is a part of Rastafari way of life also. Because we use cannabis as a healing. We use cannabis in our regular, everyday way of life. Even though they had it illegal, even though it was branded as illegal, not to say most, but a lot of Rastafari use cannabis to support their families. We use cannabis in herbs to make medicines to support our families. We use cannabis for recreational use to support our families. So we want the government to know that under our sacramental rights, recreational use comes within our sacramental rights. Being able to transport cannabis, being able to distribute cannabis throughout society to anyone in society, that is part of our sacramental rights because we have been doing that all of our life. We don't want them to think that they can just tell us, oh, you can use it as a sacrament in the back of the camp, but only for us to know. We have been administering this cannabis to society at large from Rastafari was created. And we are the leaders in administering cannabis to society for herbal remedy, for medical remedy, for recreational use, for any use. We are the leaders in that, and we want to be respected that way.
We want to be respected for the brutality that we bear. Some of us from our own family. We have a brother who would lock up his brother. Because we know that when you become an officer, you have to be sworn that if a family member was in trouble, you would go for them. So they will send your family for you. You understand me? So we want a recompense and a reparation in the name of defending a law that says is not valid. Any law that says the Rastafari cannot use, possess,
and distribute
travel with cannabis is against the Constitution of the Bahamas.
And we have run out of time, and I need to bring you back because there are a number of texts I haven't read yet. People asking some questions, so I'll make more time. I'll make more time because I want to understand the community.
I just want a formal apology. A full formal apology.
I understand. Yes, okay. Yes. Blessings to everyone. This has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. We have members of the Rastafarian community here, and we're just asking and having some conversations about the community in general. Have a wonderful day.